used to getting, but at least I'm up here. I thank God for that. And to me, it's real. I try to run and drive my family and anybody that I'm around with. I try to make sure that my character stays the same. I try to be a Christian walking. That's what I try to be. I thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is imperative that we understand that's our only means of salvation. That's why we're here, and that's why this is so important. The leaders of the church. I can't say enough. I know somebody, you may wonder why I say that. But, you know, I come up through a structured background all my life. That was in the military, and you got leadership. But it wasn't the military that showed me that we need church leadership. It was the problems in the world. You understand what we have to face daily, that we do need structured leadership. And I thank God for that in the church here. My church family, it's wonderful to be amongst people that agree the way you do and think the way that you do. You know, it's something. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, what to say, watching my back. And, you know, you don't worry about that kind of stuff. I thank God for that. And my wife is back, so my smile is further across my face now. It's further across. So I'm happy with that, happy to be here. My supporting scripture to this afternoon or this evening will be coming from 2 Thessalonians 3:6-7. 2 Thessalonians 3:6-7. When you have it, say amen. 2 Thessalonians 3:6-7. 2 Thessalonians 3. Amen. Good. I will read. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he receives us. For yourselves know that ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Yeah. What has he got this time? Well, my title for this evening is Choosing Your Friends. Choosing Your Friends. You know, when I was coming up, you know, like I told you, my daddy raised five of us. My mama left when I was 2. I was the youngest. And I understood after I got out of there how important it was for him to be like it was. Daddy was the kind of person that laid the law down. If he told you twice, you can rest assured that second time was very influential. You hear me? He had your attention. And I can remember never, ever, ever, I was telling Tony about never, ever, ever getting a whooping for the same thing twice. That didn't happen with him. That every time he tagged you, you remembered that one. You knew what that one was for. That did what it was supposed to do. And I thank God because every one of them, they graduated, went to school, come out, done good, you know, and didn't end up in prison or any of that stuff and raised a family. Them that are still living, they done good. But my thing about it in relationship to the lesson tonight is that friends, I can remember some of the things they would say back then when you were hanging around somebody. We would bring somebody to the house. We, you know, had these old hoop backyard basketball goals, and we would go over there and we'd play basketball. And in Willard, everybody knew everybody. They knew who they were. You know, and they wanted to say, ain't that JD's boy or ain't that Shirley's boy? That's how they call everybody. And when I went over to their house, ain't that Marsha's boy? That's how that Lily's boy, Marsha. That's what that is, you know. So that's how things went. But one thing they always said, and the attitude toward being in bad company. Now that, they got straight, which is to start with. Boy, didn't I see you up there with that boy or the Lulas? You don't need to be hanging around with him. Didn't question it. Didn't say anything. I had to cut this thing loose with Miss Lula's boy. Cut that loose quick with what that was. Because they knew that may have a bad influence on me. picking, choosing friends. Now, at school, you want to be in the group that's popular. A lot of times, popularity wind up hurting someone or at the expense of someone's feeling. Popularity does. And the best way to not do it or to not get into that position where you are damaging or hurting someone was watch the group that you hung with. Now, as a kid, I'm going to tell you again, there wasn't a whole lot of Bible verses being read at my house. But that moral understanding about, you know, that's bad company, you don't need to be with, that he put that out. He put that out. And see, here's why this is important. Because nowadays I can hear, I'm fast forward, nowadays you can hear, well, I don't want to pick a friend. I want her to be independent, and I want him to be independent, and this, that. And before you know it, we got somebody with an AK-47 running through school shooting people. But you left him independent back there in the room. God knows, you ain't checked on him. He done nothing. That's what's going on. Well, here, Paul is telling the members of the church, he's saying, listen, you got some in the church that deliberately trying to undermine the teachings of Christ. Deliberately throwing a wrench in what we are supposed to do. They're deliberately not listening or not teaching what we left you with. That's them. He's telling them, Paul is telling them, cut yourself away from that. That's what Paul is doing. And for us Christians, that's one of the hardest things we have to deal with because we are a society-driven people. Boss man, I can remember, you know, even when I was a supervisor, I used to supervise, I did, one year, I was a supervisor for maintenance in Fort Jackson for Lear. There was a contractor, they was repairing stuff that brought back from Iraq, and I was one of the supervisors. And the thing Lear would sit down there and tell me, said, listen now, Chief Stamp, you know, they call you by your name, Chief Stamp, what we want you to do, when you interview, make sure you pick people that's going to be conducive to our mission, getting this done. But listen to this, what they said. Make sure that they don't do any kind of religion or have any kind of personal preference on the work site. That's society-driven. Company, biggest leader. Why? It's because they don't want to deal with a discrimination suit down the road. When you come to me and try to push your religion on me, and I'm saying he made me feel uncomfortable, and I'm going to sue you for $1 million. And those companies can pay that kind of money. So what you do, you make sure that this is put out. The damage that it caused is that we moved all the thinking of God and the belief of God and religion and the morality right on out of the workplace. We're doing just what it takes to get ahead. At any cost, whether it meant doing something wrong or not helping out a fellow person or let him mess up when you know he's doing something that's going to hurt him. They were deliberately in that position that they could undermine the ethics and the moral siding for people to just get productivity done. So it didn't make a difference. I could have been working side, or my workers, rather, could have been working side a satanic worshiper. It's all right, as long as that satanic worshiper painted that truck. You say, well, why is that important? Listen to me, Christians. Listen to me. If you are in a friend group and the only thing that y'all don't agree on is religion and morality, you got a problem. You better get out of that quick. If you are in a group that nobody can see any God in you, get out of that group. If you're in a group that says you don't have to go to church every Sunday, you can stay there and put your hand on the TV and get saved to that, get out of that group. Why? It's because as humans, and Daddy used to tell us this is another one they always said, you know, they could kill me with them old sayings, you know. And I don't know whether he was talking from the bottle or it made sense down the road, though. He said, you can't get in the mud hole without getting dirt under your fingernails. That's what he said. If you're hanging with these guys and they into this, you can tell me all you want. You're going to be part of that sooner or later. Sooner or later. Picking your friends. Picking your friends. I never realized how important that was until I became an officer in the United States Army. We have what we call right-hand fellowship night. On right-hand fellowship night, that was on a Thursday, we all would go meet over to the club. I believe I told some of you this story. We would go meet over to the officers' club. And at the officers' club, everybody get their beer or whatever they got and their drink. And I would get a 7-Up in a glass with a cherry in it. So it looked like I had something. You know. That. And they would frown upon you if you didn't go to that. I mean, you could get, you know, they'll mess you up on your career if you don't. Socialization. That's what they pushed and perpetuated. And the thing that got to me was, listen to me now. The Bible speaks about soldiers and war and the army and the whole nine yards. And this is imperative. It goes to the group. Every single time you go fire a weapon at the range, you're not shooting at a tin can. You're not shooting at a bottle. You're not shooting at a round bullseye target. You're shooting at the silhouette of a man. Every time. That's what we teach. That's what we do. So nobody should be confused about why you're here. Nobody should be confused. And when you put that coupled with the ability to think the way you want to, do what you want to, as long as we get the mission done, you have the possibility of somebody perpetuating an environment that's not at all conducive to Christ and morals. You understand that? There are certain groups, certain teams that we put in, and we have to have them. They're soldiers of war. We got to have them. That we need them in our mission. But those guys, it doesn't bother them to go in, and their job is to annihilate everything there if they have to. You say, well, Greater, why do you come back to this? If you got somebody that's in your friendship group that don't see morals, they're not attached or don't feel any kind of compassion when somebody's hurt, you got problems. You got problems. And you can't expect that person to be in there and lead your church the way it should be if they don't have any morals with regular real life. So you can't say, listen to me now, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to change him. Well, you might. You might change him. But chances are you do more damage hanging with him to the other church members in church than you would trying to save him. So if you're going to save him, call him up and try to work with him to save him. But don't make this a habit of you hanging over there with that group. We got to understand that our responsibility to God is to teach and to bring souls to Christ. And you're going to have some that's just not going to listen to you. The Bible refers to, as you go to the house, they're talking about the Christian, you go to their house and you're not welcome. What did it say? Shake the sandals from you. You can't keep going back over there. Well, he got another six-pack of beer. Maybe he'll listen to me now. After a while, you may be running the errand for him. And here in the church, Paul is saying, we have to be mindful. We have to be what we are to be. You and everybody here have the same responsibility as a Christian as they did back then. My association in my life is supposed to show that I am a Christian, a follower. I am a believer. I'm walking with God. I'm trying to do what's right. Didn't say I wasn't going to sin. I might be with somebody sin. But I don't need to be a part of the problem. I need to be a part of the solution. And that's how we have to look at it. Choosing friends. If he's not going to be a part of the solution of getting children back to respecting their parents and getting them back into the church and getting them back to perpetuate God's word, then you probably don't need to hang with him. I would tell my children when they come to the house, I say, listen, make sure you, Greg would freak out. I make sure you brief them before they come up here. On what we tolerate, what we do and don't do. Because it's going to sound rough when it comes from me. I spent my entire life talking to adult men, you know, so you need to be, make sure. And Greg would, listen, now you can't do that. You ain't going to be able to do that here. If you're going to do this, and this, that's why they tell them. And them two there, they know. Make sure you know how it's coming. Is that not right? Make sure you know. And my kid, listen to me now. Like I said before, a child is a child. Eats like a child, play like a child, stink like a child. But when he becomes adult, he got to put away the childish things. That makes sense. That's right. Listen to me now. As a child, up under the pretense of a child, he's still supposed to have any respect for anybody here. If that person misrepresented, he'd come back and tell me. I'm going to go fix that. You're not to be disrespectful to him. But you need to pick out what kind of life you're going to lead. You don't need to be hanging with the thugs. So when I go out here and the teacher tell me, well, this is who you were with. This is who he's hanging with, Mr. Stanford. And this is what we had to deal with. Because I'm going to fix that too. See, now, I don't meet you in church. Y'all got this. I'm going to fix this. And you know, my daddy would say, Marshall Stanford was something else. He'd tell you quick, so-and-so is not my child. You are. Now, this may sound, I don't care what they do. Let me tell you what you're going to do. And I appreciate that now. I do. I really appreciate that now. You know, like I told you, I grew up in an area within a 3-mile radius, have seven different churches. And they wasn't 500 people there. So it was no doubt that there was plenty of people with different opinions. You can believe that. So when it come down to raising a child, or when it got to doing that, and who to hang with and where they're supposed to be, the parents was in 100% control of that one. You know, and I think when Paul says here, in the name of Jesus Christ, it is imperative that we associate with Christians to do what we're supposed to do, unless you're on that marked mission trying to get him changed. I don't need to send a message that I spend the majority of my time down at the crack house. I don't. I don't need to have you see me out there with a couple of ladies of the night or at some house of ill repute or whatever the case may be, or even smaller things than that, with somebody that you know don't go to church and send a bad signal and cussing and all this other stuff. You have a responsibility of image too, because you send a message of what we call in the military is nonverbal communication. That's what they're telling me. This is where he hang out at. This is what she do. And likewise, more importantly, that's the reason you don't want to have that going on in the church. Abstain from that. Get away from that. That's not what we're doing. I don't want to send a signal that that's a welcome, that's appreciated, that's here in the church. You come here with one of those problems, what I see you as a person trying to change, if you come here with that problem. That's like we said before. You know, be gentle if he's already in the church of faith. If he's not of the church, again, we're going to do it by the law and try to get you to change. We give you a biblical answer, a Christian answer, and solution to what problem you've got. I'm never going to support wrong. And it's never going to be right to do somebody wrong. It's never. So when it comes to choosing your friends, this is one of those things where you have to take your stand. Is it going to be beneficial for you or not? And sometimes that means crossing against family. I know. It crossed with mine. Sometimes you have to take the hard stand. Once you decide in your mind that your higher authority is my Father in heaven, and you answer through your mediator, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then it don't bother you to look at family or anybody else and say, no, I'm not doing that. And I'm not supporting that. See, it took me a long time to get to where I would say, listen to this now. I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut it down. Let's do it. It took me a long time to get to this point where I would say, it doesn't matter to me that you are my biological brother or sister. What matters to me is what's right or wrong. So if Tim is right and my sister, only sister on the face of the earth, is wrong, that's the law. That's what I'm going with. I don't have a problem. It took me a long time. Listen now, I'm in church. To own up to, and I mean that now. Listen to me. And as I talk to you right now, I can tell you I spend more time with some of you than I do with my family. You know how little we see each other on Sundays. So you know theirs is less than that. So when it comes to friends, when it comes to anything got to do with your moral position, stay true to the Bible. Stay true to God's word. Sometimes it means making a tough call. One last thing before I go and get out of here. One last thing. My brother sent his message back just a while ago while we were sitting in the chair and said he's seen the sermon and the message this morning and he loved it. It was great. He enjoyed it. And he went through service with us on the on Chad's little camera, that thing. I guess it worked. He's down in Fayette. But that's the one with camps. I was glad to hear that. That's great. He came here. That's when he came here. So I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of us. I'm very proud that, you know, it's having an active movement. You know, I don't care if we move just one. We moved. You hear me? I don't care. It's like a million for me. We moved. I thank God for that. We need to remember those that are sick. Keep those in prayer and what we had going on. Keep Curtis and them in prayer. Even the ones that are not sick, keep them in prayer. Talk, you know, get used to asking God to look out and watch over. That's important. For me, it is. For me, it is. And I want to believe that we are people of like faith. We think alike. We do things alike. And I, that's why I always say y'all laugh at me. I always say that, you know, my young'un, if he can't go home, I'm sitting in one of y'all houses. You better not tell him. You better let him in there. So we sit in the church. You better treat him just like he's yours. I always say that, and I mean that. I love you. And I hope you see me as that same kind of guy. I really do. If anybody needed prayer or would like to change or would like to just have a talk with the leadership in church, we ask that you come and see us.